You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a lawsuit was filed today in order to challenge the recount effort underway in the state following the November 8th election. We'll learn about who's challenging the recount in just a bit.
First, the so-called Rust Belt region of the United States has gotten a lot of media attention since Election Day, with states like Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin playing big parts in Donald Trump's Electoral College victory. Our next guest says that attention could be a good thing if it's done right.
But it can be tough for media outlets based on the coasts to get it right. She says there's a need for more reporters and writers based in the Midwest, and even more important, she says media outlets and the news audience need to give more attention and support to the people already providing that kind of coverage. She writes about the topic in a piece titled, "The Media Didn't Forget the Rust Belt, You Did."
Anne Trubeck joins us now. She's the founder and director of Belt Publishing, which highlights writing and reporting in the post-industrial Midwest. You can find a link to that piece we mentioned on the Central Time Facebook page. Anne, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So, and a few days ago, you tweeted, this is a quote, "Astonishingly, it seems the national media is creating an ever more distorted picture of the Midwest slash Rust Belt post-election than pre." Can you flesh that out? What do you see happening there?
Well, there have been so many stories about, you know, the quote-unquote white working class, the laid-off factory worker, that have happened since the election. And, you know, that might have been descriptive of the region 40 years ago, but it's been a long time since we've had not only factory workers but laid-off factory workers in the Rust Belt. Most people here work in healthcare, retail, banks. The idea that, you know, we make things here is still active, but it's more a myth than it is a reality. So it's almost as if the sort of narrative that Trump was trumping up before the election is being now repeated in the media afterwards.
And before we turn to Midwest-based media, how would you like to see national outlets cover the Midwest to tell a wider, more accurate story?
Well, I think it has to start with people who live in the Midwest telling that story, who understand the area better. So we still have a lot of, you know, what's called parachute journalism, people who are living in New York or D.C., flying in for a few hours, interviewing people, writing it up. Meanwhile, we have so much talent in the region who could write those stories themselves. So I really think, you know, being local, not just, you know, with, you know, what we buy and, you know, but also what we read and who writes what we read.
And how do you think that starts sort of fleshing out, I should say, the media available in the Midwest and the Rust Belt to get people involved? I mean, the journalistic enterprise in general has not been a money-making venture lately, let alone for sort of smaller publications. So how do we begin changing that?
Yeah, I mean, if I had that answer, then I'd be a wealthy woman. I think, you know, more resources have to be put into it. Well, let's put it this way. If there's a lot of national media saying we need better reporting and better understanding of the Midwest, then people have to put resources into doing that. And clearly, you know, the business model of journalism is tough right now. But there certainly could be, you know, actions taken where readers make a conscious choice to think about who, you know, where the things that they're clicking originate from, where, you know, there's more of a sense that you need to pay to have good journalism. And then perhaps just, you know, funding some of the great outlets that are out there. And giving them, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio is one of them, and just giving more resources to all the great journalism that's already happening in the region, rather than reinventing the wheel.
Hey, you're trying to do some of this at Belt Publishing. Are there other sources out there you think are doing good work anywhere in the Midwest and that maybe aren't getting the clicks that they deserve?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, Public Radio does an amazing job. I think a lot of the alt-weeklies do great work. I mean, they are also, you know, they're diminished from what they were, but there's still, you know, great investigative long form writing happening. I'm sure Isthmus is doing great work in Madison, and There are Belt Magazine is devoted to writing about the Rust Belt, so that's our mission. And I'm, you know, I'd like to say that there's, you know, robust local newspapers, but there aren't. So there are fewer places to go than there used to be, but there's certainly talent and desire and some options.
I mean, looking at the results of this election, I think the reason that there has been such a focus in the aftermath is this feeling that the media got it wrong, that nobody really saw this coming, this block of voters that came out and voted for Trump. And you say, you know, that your publication missed that, too. So, I mean, with that in mind, is there anything that could have been done differently to understand maybe that block of voters, or is it not that simple?
Well, I think two things. One is, you know, we did cover a lot of the issues that came up in the election over the last year or so. We've written a lot about NAFTA and manufacturing and immigration in the area. They weren't as sexy then, so they didn't get as many clicks as they might now. And people are like, oh, wait, you know, these are big issues. You know, so that's part of it. And then I think there's another part, which is what's the total we're out now? 80,000 people in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. There wasn't like this huge, momentous shift. There was, you know, a football stadium worth of people. So, you know, I don't claim to really understand what happened in the election. You know, I mean, I don't know anyone really understands it, but the numbers were small. And there were, you know, all of the cities went blue. You know, most of the non-white people in the area went blue. So there's, you know, it's a complicated map, I think.
Talking to Ann Trubeck from Belt Publishing. She focuses there on the Midwest, the so-called Rust Belt. She says we need more coverage based in the Midwest, and people who hire reporters need to put more attention and resources behind Midwest-based reporting. And it isn't just reporting, as I understand it. You want to see more storytelling of all sorts, writing, culture, too, being paid attention to in the Midwest.
Sure. I mean, that's obviously what, you know, I'm doing with Belt. In addition to the reporting we're doing, we publish books. We publish anthologies about cities in the Rust Belt, like Cleveland and Detroit and Pittsburgh, that really have been underwritten about. I mean, this region is a fascinating place. And the last 30 years has been a time of, you know, both hard times, but also, you know, a real burst of creativity. But there's not that much being written and published about what's happening by the people who are living here doing it. And it's, you know, I think we see this greater and greater consolidation of media, whether it's journalism or book publishing, in the coast. And we're just missing, I think, a huge amount of creativity, resources, and stories that people want to read and hear, and they also want to tell.
And we're talking to you from Wisconsin Public Radio. We're in the Midwest. You're in the Midwest. I mean, when you're talking about parachute reporting, people just coming in, spending 8 hours and writing a piece about the Midwest, do you see any sense that maybe national media outlets are starting to think about the way they do things differently and realizing that maybe you do want a reporter who lives in the community and maybe seeing some sort of shifts?
I hope so. I'm hearing a lot of that being said, but the stories I'm reading in the New York Times and the Washington Post are still about this area, are still being written by people who are based on the coast. They used to have bureaus here. They could reopen them, or they could partner with those of us who are here doing this work. I think there's also, maybe this is a business model issue, but there's less drawing upon the work already being done in a lot of national stories. So if somebody has already done a deep dive on, you know, Milwaukee and race relations that was done in Milwaukee, and then the New York Times writes that story, they might not ever cite the story that had come before. So I think we just need to have more cross-pollination, as it were.
I wonder if there's a supply issue, too. Like, if you're a younger person growing up in the Midwest, you want to go into journalism, media, broadcasting, whatever, and you want to make it big, you don't probably move to Pittsburgh or Cleveland or Milwaukee. You go to New York or Washington or maybe the West Coast. How can we start turning that around and trying to make the Midwest a destination for people who want to do this kind of work?
Oh, that's such a great question. And, I, you know, absolutely. There, you know, where I live in Cleveland, the cost of living is so low, so that if you want to be pursuing journalism, which is never going to be that lucrative, it makes a ton of sense to move here rather than New York, which is now so prohibitively expensive. So the question is, where to get jobs? We spend our days, I'm talking to you all, not everyone in the audience, but, you know, on our laptops. We don't need to be in the same place. I think we need to keep just sort of working with the ability for people to be able to work remotely, and give people, you know, more opportunities to say, hey, I'm gonna base myself in Detroit or Milwaukee, and I'm gonna write, you know, for whomever about where I am, because that's possible now. But there is definitely, you know, less of a talent pool that, you know, in the Midwest, because there aren't the jobs, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm not 25 trying to figure out where to live. So, you know, I realize that that's a tough nut to crack.
And Anna, as we wrap up, I mean, we heard the phrase media elites a lot during this last election campaign season. And I wonder if you think there is something to that, if there are these media outlets, these more storied publications on the mostly the East Coast, that maybe kind of sometimes do suck all the oxygen out of the room for the little guys.
Yeah, I think that might be true. And I also think that the way our economy has gone in the last decade or so, there is an increasing gap between people who are living in very expensive cities on the coast and people who aren't, that is creating a little bit of a, you know, sort of gap in understanding of our realities. My life is very different than my peers who live in New York. And it's getting increasingly more different from them. So, yeah.
And thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for talking with me. This has been great.
That was Anne Trubeck, founder and director of Belt Publishing. And you can find a link to her piece on the media and the Midwest on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we'll talk about a new lawsuit challenging the legitimacy of the vote recount effort underway in the state. And then we'll take some of your calls, what you think about the recount, whether it should be happening, what you're hoping comes out of it. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.